Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve. The show is Word for Word for Monday, November the 28th, 2016. We are in the book of 1 Samuel, that's Samuel. And today we are going to be doing chapters 7, 8, and 9. They're short chapters. So we'll get three in today, and this is a continuation of the story about the Ark of the Covenant, and what resulted after the Philistines had captured it, and all that happened to them. Well, it's going to find a temporary resting place in a house of a devout Israelite. So that's what's going to occur here. And I'm still having a little bronchial trouble, so if I have to mute the mic, you'll understand that there is a slight pause in the recording. But let's get started here in chapter 7. Verse 1 of the book of Samuel. The men of Kiriath Yearim came and took up the ark of Yahweh and brought it to the house of Abinadab, that's 41, on the hill, and consecrated 6942 Eleazar 499 his son to be the keeper or guard of the Ark of Yahweh. And verses 1 and 2 of chapter 7, you can reference 2 Samuel 6:24 and 1 Chronicles 13, verses 5 through 7. And verse 2, and it came to pass from the day the ark abode in Kiriath Yearim, that the days were numerous. It was 20 years, and all the house of Israel went mourning after Yahweh. Now, mourning is 5091, and it's Wayanahu, and it means here as yearned after. They yearned after Yahweh. They knew they had fouled up and really missed his presence, with the Ark of the Covenant being apart from them, stored temporarily in Kiriath Yearim. Verse 3, Shemuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, and here's the big two little word, if you return to Yahweh with all your hearts, put away 5493, that means put away or turn aside from, the gods 430, that's Elohe, the gods of the racial aliens, 5236, and that's Hanikar, from your midst, 8432, and the Ashtaroth, okay, that's the Asherah poles that they carved, 6252, and direct, 3559, your heart, 3824, to Yahweh, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hands of the Philistine. They were still under the jurisdiction of the Philistines. Verse 4. the children of Israel put away the Baalim, 1168, and Ashtaroth, 6252, and served Yahweh only. Said Shemuel, gather all Israel to Mitzpah, 4709, and I will pray, 6419, for you to Yahweh. Verse 6, and they gathered at Mitzpah and drew water and poured it out before Yahweh. In other words, they didn't drink and fasted, 6684, on that day and said there, we have sinned against Yahweh. And Shemuel judged, 8199, the children of Israel in Mitzpah. That's as a lawgiver and decision maker. Verse 7. When the Philistim heard that the children of Israel were gathered in Mitzpah, the lords of the Philistim rose up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard, they were afraid from the presence of the Philistim. Verse 8. The children of Israel said to Shemuel, do not be silent. Cry out to Yahweh Eloheinu for us. That Eloheinu means our God. That he will save us from the hand of the Philistim. And here's verse 9. And verse 9 you can reference in your Apocrypha. Sirach 46, verses 16 through 18. Shemuel took a suckling lamb, that's a lamb that's still nursing, and set up a burnt offering holy, 3632, to Yahweh. And Shemuel cried out to Yahweh for Israel, and Yahweh answered him. In other words, they didn't take any of the part of the meat or anything for the priest or anything. They burned the whole thing to ash for Yahweh. Verse 10, as Shemuel was sending up the burnt offering, the Philistim approached to war against Israel. But Yahweh thundered, 7481, with a great sound on that day upon the Philistim and confused them, that's 2,000, and they were smitten, 5062, before Israel. So Yahweh put his hand into it and delivered them. Verse 11. The men of Israel went forth from Mitzpah and pursued the Philistim and smote them unto a position below, 8478, Beth Kar, 1033. Verse 12. Shemuel took a stone and set it between Mitzpah and Shen, 8129, and called the name Eben Haezer, 72. That means stone of help, stone of the help, saying, for up to now Yahweh has helped us, 5286. Helped us. Verse 13. The Philistim were humbled, 3665, Wayakanu, and came no more again into the territory of Israel, and the hand of Yahweh was against the Philistim all the days of Shemuel. In other words, Yahweh punished them all the time he was alive. Verse 14, the cities which the Philistim had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and the territory of it Israel delivered from the hands of the Philistim, and there was peace between Israel and the Amori. 5, 6, 7, that's the Amorites. So there was a double peace there. They beat down the Philistines, and the Amorites no longer bothered them. And I had to clear my lungs again. Verse 15. And Shemuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Verse 16. He went from year to year in a circuit, 5, 4, 3, 7, to Bethel, 1008, and Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. They were the major cities. Verse 17. He returned to Ramah because there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to Yahweh. Okay, that ends chapter 7. Now we're going to get into an important chapter in chapter number 8. Here is where Israel really fouls up, and it's plagued us ever since. This is the beginning of the reason for the bad times for Israel. A little bit of ice water there. Which we are still experiencing today. Now, we've got some names where they have taken the sacred name out and replaced it with something else. They have tampered with it. This is chapter 8, verse 1. It came to pass when Shemuel grew old, 2204, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Verse 2, the name of his firstborn was, now they have Yoel, 3100 in the King James, but the name is Yah-El, and it means Yah is God. They took the sacred name Yah out of that name and put Yoel. And they have Joel in the King James, where we get the name Joel. Okay? The name is Yah, which is an epithet for Yahweh, El, which means divine being or God. Yah is God. So the name of his firstborn was Yah, El, 3100. Regardless of what it has in your King James, that's wrong. This is right. And the name of his second, Abiyah. Abiyah, 29. Yah is my father. Or my father is Yah. Abi is father. Yah is the epithet for Yahweh. Judges in Be'er Sheba. Verse 30. But his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside, 5186, after dishonest gain, 1215, and took bribes, 7810, and perverted, 5186, justice, 4941. Verse 4. All the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Shemuel in Ramah. Verse 5, and for verse 5, you can reference Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. And said to him, behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to govern us like all the nations. That's 8199, govern, to be a ruler. All the nations around them, all the Baal-worshipping, pagan, Canaanite, they all had kings. They were dissatisfied because of the behavior of Yael and Abiah. Verse 6. The thing was displeasing in the eyes of Shemuel when they said, give us a king to govern us, and Shemuel prayed to Yahweh. And here it comes. Yahweh said to Shemuel, listen to the voice of the people in all they say to you, because they have not rejected 3988 you, but have rejected me from reigning as king, 4427, over them. Verse 8, all the works which they have done from the day I brought them up from Mitzrayim unto this day, they have forsaken me and served other Elohim, so do they also to you. In other words, they've been rebellious all the time since they came out of Mitzrayim and served other gods. They just wouldn't obey. Verse 9, now therefore listen to their voice, however yet warn them solemnly. That's 5749 doubled for an emphatic. And declare, 5046, to them the laws, 4941, of the king that shall reign over them. Oh boy. Now listen to what's coming carefully, folks. Let me clear my throat here a second. There we go. Shemuel told all the words of Yahweh to the people that asked, 7592, from him a king. Verse 11, he said, these will be the laws of the king that will reign over you. Now, I'm going to read these, and I want you to think in your minds, I want you to think on these, as to how they pertain to what is happening to us today underneath kings and prime ministers and presidents and these ruling bodies that rule over us. How do these apply today? Are these things going on now? I want you to think on that as I read these. He will take your sons to appoint 7760 for his chariots, 4818, and his horsemen, 6571, and some shall run before his chariots. In other words, he's going to make your sons soldiers just for his use. Now, I'm going to elucidate on this when I'm done with all these rules. Verse 12. He will appoint them as commanders, 8269, over thousands, and commanders over fifties, and to plow 2790, his plowing, 2758, and to reap 7114, his harvest, 7105, and to make his weapons, 3627, of war, and equipment, 3627, for his chariot, 7393. Verse 13, he will take your daughters to be perfumers, 7548, and cooks, 2879, and bakers, 644. 14, he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves, the best, to give to his servants. And verse 14, reference 1 Kings 21, all of it. Verse 15, he will take the tenth of your seed and your vineyards to give to his eunuchs, 5631, and servants. He will take your male slaves, 5650, or your male servants, and your female slaves, 8198, or your female servants, and your best young men, 970, and your asses, 2543, to do his work. He will take a tenth of your flock, 6629, and you shall be his slave, 5650. You shall cry out in that day from the presence of your king, which you have chosen, and Yahweh will not answer you in that day. All right, let's look at this. He will take your sons to appoint for his chariots. They have drafted a lot of the young men and his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. It's government service in the military. In the never-ending wars that we have become embroiled in since the corporate government took over the United States. Verse 12. He will appoint them as commanders over thousands, commanders over fifties, and to plow his plowing and reap his harvest, and to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. Now, we are under corporate rule, okay, with a singular head, but he dances to the tune of the corporation. So the king is actually the corporations that run this country. And they make a lot of money over war and war material and corporate farms. And gadgets for war. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. Well, aren't the daughters of Israel in service to these corporations? They don't want to be moms anymore. They want to be employees of the corporation as secretaries and whatever. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves, the best, to give to his servants. The corporations and the corporate farms have gobbled up all the individual family-owned farms. They've taken them. And are they not giving the best to the welfare minority and supporting them and sending this food to foreign lands to give to people that hate us? Think about that. He will take the tenth of your seed and your vineyards to give to his eunuchs and servants. He's going to give the government workers, the stooges, a lot of your goodies. He will take your male slaves and your female slaves and your best young men and your asses to do his work. Well, they freed our slaves here. And legislated them equal to us. And our young men and livestock and everything else in our equipment, they have taken to do government work. They force it. Forced labor. We have forced labor here. He will take a tenth of your flock and you shall be his slaves. Are we not slaves to the corporation? Through usury, through the banking system. And we have cried out because of all the violation of our rights which you originally had, which have been taken from us. And Yahweh has turned a deaf ear because we have turned away from Yahweh. And this nation is being punished. This was an Israel nation in the beginning. It no longer is. It's got all these mixed breeds in here. They're flooding us. So, here's more stubbornness from Israel. Verse 19. But the people refused, 3985, to hear the voice of Shemuel. And they said, nay, for we will have a king over us, that we may become as all the nations. These are the pagan nations around them. And our king may govern us and go forth before us and fight our battles. Well, Yahweh was fighting our battles. But no, we wanted a man. So what have we got? We got a mess. That's what we've got. Verse 21. Shemuel heard all the words of the people and repeated them in the ears of Yahweh. He took it to Yahweh in prayer. 22. Yahweh said to Shemuel, listen to their voice and appoint a king. In other words, okay, you guys want a king? Yeah, really? Don't want me anymore? Okay. And Shemuel said to the men of Israel, go every man to his city. That ends chapter 8. And we have had a number of kings. And kings have always been egotistical and they are powerful and they just do what they want. And the moral of this story is be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And here is chapter 9. This is a little longer chapter. Verse 1. There was a man of Benjamin, that's Benjamin, whose name was Kish, Q-I-Y-S-H, 7027, the son of Abiel, the son of Seroror, 6872, the son of Bechoroth, 1064, the son of Aphiach, 647, a Yemeni, that means a Benjaminite, 3228, a mighty man, 1368, of power, 2428. And he had a son, whose name was Shaul, not Shaul, Shaul, 7586. a young man, and goodly, 2896. And none from the children of Israel was a better man than he. From his shoulders, 7926, and upward, 4605. Taller, 1364, than all the people. He was a great big guy. Okay. Verse 3. The asses, that's the donkeys, 860, of Kish, Shaul's father, were lost. That's 6. And Kish said to Shaul his son, take now one of the servants with you, and rise up and go seek the asses. And where's he sending him out to find his donkeys? They were work animals. They got loose out of the pen and went wandering off, which is the habit of donkeys. 4. He passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, 8031, but found them not. They passed through the land of Sha'alim, 8171, and found nothing. And he passed through the land of the Yemeni, 1145, but found nothing. Verse 5. When they came to the land of Zuf, 6689, Shaul said to a servant that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father cease, 2308, worrying for the asses, and become anxious, 1672, for us. In other words, to heck with the donkeys, where's my son? Verse 6. And he said to him, behold now, in this city is a man of Elohim, an honored man, that's 3513, all that he speaks surely comes. Now let us go there, perhaps he can tell us the way upon which we should go. Shaul said to his servant, the servant was the one that spoke about going to see the holy man. Shaul said to his servant, Shaul, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? Because the bread is gone from our vessels, and we have no present, 8670, to bring to the man of Elohim. What do we have? The servant answered Shaul again, behold, I find, 4672, in hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of Elohim to tell us our way. Verse 9. Before times in Israel, when a man went to inquire, 1875, that's Lidrosh of Elohim, he said, come, let us go to the seer, 7200, because these days a prophet, 5030, that's a Nabi, was before times called a seer, 7200, Roeh. Verse 10, Shaul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of Elohim was. Verse 11, as they went up, 5927, the ascent, 4608, to the city, they found girls, that's Na'aroth, 5291, going forth to draw, 7579, water, and said to them, is the seer here? Verse 12, and they answered and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came this day to the city, because there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. 1:1:1:6. That's where they did their sacrifices, usually to pagan gods. Verse 13, as you enter the city, you shall soon, 3:6:5:1, find him before he goes up to the high place to eat, because the people will not eat until he arrives, because he blesses the sacrifice, and afterwards those called eat. Now go up, because at this time you shall find him. Verse 14, they went up to the city, and when they entered into the city, behold, Shemuel came forth to meet them to go up to the high place. Surprise, surprise. Verse 15. Now Yahweh disclosed to Shemuel in his ear a day before Shaul arrived, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him ruler over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistine, because I have looked at my people, because their cry has come to me. So this was not a surprise to Shemuel. Verse 17, and when Shemuel saw Shaul, Yahweh said to him, behold, the man whom I spoke to you of, this same shall rule over, 6:1:1:3, my people. Verse 18. Shaul approached Shemuel in the gate and said, tell me, please, where is the seer's house? Verse 19. Shemuel answered Shaul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your mind. Now this is literally heart, but the Hebrew idiom has the heart as the center of reason, okay? As for your asses lost 3 days ago, set not your mind to them. That's 38:20. And that also means literally heart, but set not your mind, but it's used idiomatically as mind, because they are found, and for whom is all the desire, 2:5:3:2 of Israel, if not for you and all your ancestral house. Whoa, that's pretty heavy stuff right there. Shaul answered and said, am I not a Benyamini of the smallest, 6:9:9:6, of the tribes of Israel, and my clan the least, 68:10, of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? For what reason do you speak such words to me? Well, verse 21, you can reference Judges chapter 20:47. That's when they punished Benjamin for all that bad stuff they did. Well, this was years later, and they were still the smallest of the tribes because they had killed a lot of them, and they hadn't built back up yet. verse 22. And Shemuel took Shaul and his servant and brought them into the hall, 3957, and gave them the chief, 7218, that's literally the head place among the called, 7121, which were about 30 men. Verse 23. Shemuel said to the cook, 2876, bring the portion, that's 4490, Hamana, that's the choice portion of the sacrifice. That's the best meat from the sacrifice, which I gave you, of which I said to you, lay it up, 7760, in your care, 5973. And that's Sim Imach. Verse 24. The cook lifted up the thigh, 7785, and which was upon it, and set 7760, and set it before Shaul. And Shemuel said, behold, that which is left, 7604, set it before you and eat, for this appointed time, 4150, it has been kept, 8104, for you, since I said, I have called the people. So Shaul ate with Shemuel that day. And 7604, that which is left, is dubious. But that's the best we can do with what we've got right there. It's an odd saying, and that's all we can really come up with. So list that as dubious. Verse 25, when they came forth from the high place into the city, Shemuel spoke with Shaul upon the roof, 1406. Verse 26. And they rose early, and it came to pass about the rising of the dawn, 7837, that Shemuel called Shaul to the roof, saying, rise up, that I may send you away. And Shaul rose up, and they went forth, both of them, he and Shemuel, outside. 2351. Verse 27. They went forth to the end of the city, and Shemuel said to Shaul, tell the servant to pass on before us. And he passed on. But you stand still for a time, that you may hear the word of Yahweh. Okay, he is preparing Shaul at this point to be anointed. Now that will come in chapter 10. We will do chapter 10 starting tomorrow, on Tuesday. But what we have seen in this chapter is a rejection of Yahweh as the king by Israel. They have made a very, very bad decision. They are going to have a series of men over them the best of whom is going to be King Dawid, not David, Dawid. They've changed, the Jews changed the W, the wall, to a Vav. They do that a lot. They have perverted the Hebrew language to their own use. And their pronunciations cannot be trusted. But the scholarly study material I have says it's pronounced Dawid, D-A-W-I-D, not David, Dawid. And Dawid is going to be the best of the kings, and he makes mistakes too, because he is a man. And all of us men and women make mistakes. We should have left Yahweh rule us and become obedient at that time, and we would not have all these problems we have today with men or subspecies of Adam ruling over us. There is a remnant, a very active remnant. You hear it at EFR. We are reaching many, many, many people. And a lot of people are waking up to what's going on and coming into the remnant. They are coming back to the worship of Yahweh. Judeo-Christianity is losing attendance in their churches by the boatload. They're just leaving. They don't want any part of it. The heck with this. This is wrong. Lies. Nonsense. Don't want to hear it. Well, they're reaping what they've sowed. They've sowed this nonsense for so long that their lies are so egregious that people are seeing through it. And this is a good thing. We're in the time of trouble. We've got riots and they're all this election business and all this. And this is the tip of the iceberg of what's coming. It's going to be very rough. But only our faith will get us through the tribulation. And only those who do not lose faith during the tribulation, and I hate to say this, but even at the cost of their lives, they will enter the kingdom of Yahweh. They will be resurrected. The dead will rise first. Yeshua said, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who loses his life in my name will have everlasting life. And that's what it's going to take sometimes. You're going to have to give up your life. Hey, I didn't write the rule book, okay? Don't rail at me for telling you what it says in the scripture. That's my job to do that. Some of us are going to go down. I may be one of them. But I will go out of this world with Yahweh's names on my lips. I will be praising him as they kill me, if it comes to that. At my age, I have seen enough of life and enough of what goes on that I know this is not all there is. This is a testing ground. Yahweh is testing us, and it will be a trial by fire, and it is going to be very rough. And I keep telling people to get spiritually prepared first, not just physically prepared. You can do it at the same time. But prepare yourself and your family for what is coming, because it is going to be a spiritual test with physical uncomfort or even injury or death. That's why they call it tribulation. It is not going to be a cakewalk. And people ask, why would Yahweh put us through this? No. We are being put through this because we have been disobedient. It is a test to see if we will be faithful Some will make it, some won't. Some will lose faith and join the goats. I hate to say that too. I hate to say that. That really grieves me that some will fall away. Some will lose faith. They are more afraid for their earthly life than for their eternal life. Because the earthly life is all they know, and they don't want to lose it, even though they're going to lose it eventually, even if it's in 50 years. When they go to sleep on the front porch and don't wake up, you're going to check out of here, folks. These things break down. The bodies we inhabit eventually just fall apart like an old car. You can't get parts for them anymore. But the eternal body that we're promised will not do that. I have seen so many miracles in my life with other people and with myself that I have no doubts about Yahweh. It's been washed from me. I have no doubts. And maybe it's becoming old and coming down to the end of my time that does this, that opens my eyes. In combination with the Holy Spirit. There's going to be battles, and we're going to have to help ourselves. We're going to have to defend ourselves, and Yahweh will help us. I'm not saying everybody's going to make it. We're not going to be raptured. We're not going to have some kind of weird armor to wear. We're going to have to go through all this trouble. But he has given us an out through Yeshua Messiah. Even if we lose this temporary dwelling place, if it gets broke and can't be fixed and we leave it, it's only a flesh shell. Your body is not you. Your spirit is you. Your soul. If Yahweh can create an entire universe just by his will, he certainly can reconstitute from the elements on this planet a body with a different design that won't break down and put our soul back into it. We cannot limit him to our pathetic attempts at so-called science. Yahweh is the divine creator of all things, including all the laws of physics that we know and don't know. There's so much more we don't know than what we do know. And all we can do is people is have faith in him. We look around and see all his miracles of creation, all the beauty, and we see all the bad things too. But we have to have faith in him as the divine creator to deal with it. He's gonna take care of it. And we're not. We're not capable of it. It's so far gone now with the troops and the equipment and all the stuff we'd have to face that a bunch of guys with rifles and pistols just couldn't combat the forces at hand without Yahweh's divine intervention. You're gonna have to trust in him. You can't trust in horses and chariots. You have to trust in Yahweh and his power. Horses and chariots being arms and ammo today. there's going to be, with the death toll, pestilence and vermin, wild dogs and cats and rats, and all these things will be dangerous, especially if rabies breaks out among the dogs, the feral dogs. A pack of dogs can take a man down in a heartbeat. You have to think of that. All kinds of things we have to prepare for. But first we must be prepared spiritually, because that's all that's really going to last. And physically, yes, we need to be able to help and care for, physically and spiritually, one another. We must truly be a brotherhood. Even if you knew a guy before and he's not your bestest buddy and you've had a little confrontation now and then, if he's an Israelite and he wants to return to Yahweh's service, you are to accept him. You ought to put your little feelings aside and your personal likes and dislikes for the good of all Israel. If he is willing to be a warrior in Yahweh's army, he must be welcome. But there will be standards of behavior that people are going to have to follow. And those of us who are leaders, myself included, will have to make sure that we teach people that come into our group of what these rules will be. And they're all spelled out in Scripture. Scripture's not going to pass away because we're in the middle of a battlefield. It will be even more in force. The main thing is care for your brothers and sisters. Don't be selfish. Don't put me first. You may have to take care of somebody else's kids if they go down, that are not yours. All kinds of things can happen. You need to prepare yourself spiritually and mentally. You have to be mentally strong. It's going to be pretty overwhelming for a while. I understand this. But if you have faith in Yahweh, Yahweh will see you through and you will make it. And that's the whole thing in a nutshell. Yahweh first. Everything else will work out. It'll all come out in the wash. And you can't worry about little things. You need to look at the big picture and the end times. And love your neighbor, your Israelite brother and sister, as yourself. And that is the key. I'm coming down to the end of the hour, and I want to wish you all peace. So shalom aleichem, that is peace be unto you. And I will talk to you tomorrow on Tuesday, beginning with chapter 10 of the book of 1 Shemuel. May Yahweh bless and keep you.